would like to dedicate my remarks this evening in the Sichas Musar in memory of my aunt, Mrs. Toby Willig, Aleha HaShalom, who passed away today in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. I read you from the email sent out by the Yeshiva University Israeli alumni. Toby was the most well-known personality in Jerusalem, a regular contributor to the letters to the editor of the Jerusalem Post, an active participant in many Jerusalem greetings and conferences, past president of Emuna Women of America, a tireless worker for Emuna Israel, and in earlier years, an important part of the Yeshiva University Women's Organization. This is not a hespit, but I felt it's appropriate, since Petir was just today in Yerushalayim, to dedicate my remarks to her, my aunt. I believe the themes that we'll be discussing today would be themes that not only she discussed with me, but that she would be happy that we discuss in a shiur dedicated to her memory. Through the word Emuna, not only in an organization, but the word Emuna appears at the very end of the parasha, V'yadav Emuna ad Bo'a Shamesh. And the simen is Yad Emuna. The simen is the amount of psukim in the parasha, 116, the gematria of Yad Emuna. And our primary focus this evening will not be on the word Emuna, but on the word Yad. And the word Yad, yes, it's found by Yadav Emuna ad Bo'a Shamesh, but in an earlier pasuk, the very first pasuk of the parsha that we're discussing, the parsha of Amalek, and the parsha, Vayilochem em Yisrael b'refidim. So the Baal HaTurim says, what's refidim? Sherafu yudeyem min ha-mitzvahs. So refidim is not just a place, it stands for two words, rafu yudeyem. His nusach is min ha-mitzvahs. In the original, in the midrashim that we have, as you probably may have heard it before, Sherafu yudeyem min ha-Torah. And the question is obvious, Rafu yudeyem min ha-Torah? You know, Baruch Hashem, I'm sitting in front of a pack-based medrash, and everyone is learning Torah. People learn Torah with their heads, not with their hands. If it's mitzvahs, I understand. Mitzvahs you do with your hands. I mean, sometimes people go like this, you know, but I don't think that's what the Chazal is arriving at. So what does it mean? Lashon d'mechilta, Rafu yudeyem min ha-Torah, Lekach bo sone aleihem. Fisha ein ha sone bo el al rifni yodayim en ha-Torah. The Mechilta right here. What does it mean? I'd like to share with you some wonderful words of Torah from the late Rosh Hashiva of Keren Biavner of Chaim Yaakov Goldberg Zal. He asked this question. He gives a remarkable answer. Torah learning in its purest form, of course, takes place in one's head. That's obvious. But you know, learning Torah with one's head is a beautiful project. It's wonderful. And you know, it doesn't even incur the ire of people like Amalek. Amalek is very happy that Am Yisrael should sit cloistered in their Yaakov Yishtam Yoshev Oholim, spending all day long in the Beis HaMedrash. After all, that was the deal which was cut by Yaakov and Esav. Esav said, Yaakov, you take Olam Haba, I'll take Olam Hazeh. That's a good deal to this day as far as Esav and Amalek are concerned. What gets them upset is the fact that Am Yisrael is not a nation that sits closeted totally in their oil, but they go out. They go out into the world of Masa Yadayim, of activity. And with Yadayim, we earn a livelihood. With Yadayim, we fight wars. And yes, we sanctify, we elevate our Yadayim. Su Yadechem Kodesh. Elevate and sanctify your hands. This is something which Amalek cannot deal with. And it's very simple why. You need not be a professional psychologist to figure it out. As long as they can rationalize to themselves that, you know, Yaakov sits in a tent, he's an Olam Haba person, I'm an Olam Haza person, I can't do any better. In my choice of Olam Hazeh, the only way to do it is the way I'm doing it. And Yaakov chose a different lifestyle. But if Yaakov and his descendants can demonstrate that they can be out in the world, right, and not have the Yadayim Yedei Esav, Chas V'Sholem, but the Suya Deichem Kodesh, this makes Esav look bad. Why can't you do that? And therefore, critical to our defense against Amalek is being able to establish firmly the idea of Suya Deichem Kodesh, that not only should our heads be in Torah, but even our hands should be in Torah, which means whatever we do in life is connected to Torah. Rafu Yedeyim in HaTorah, not Rasheyim. Their heads were still in Torah, but their hands, their other activities, were not elevated and sanctified by Torah. At that point in time, Amalek was able to attack us. Vayilochem in Yisrael b'refidim. When we did not maintain the proper connection between the Yadayim and Torah, that's when Amalek came in. And therefore, to continue with the words of Yadayim, here it's only in the Chazal, in the Mechilta, Refidim, Rafa Yadayim. A few psukim later, what happens? Kasheyore Moshe Yoda Begova Yisrael, Kasheyaniach Yoda Begova Amalek, Vide Moshe Kavedim, Aaron Bechur Tomcha Beyoda. The word Yad repeats again and again and again. What's it all about? So Rav Goldberg Zal explained as follows. When we pick up our hands, Suya Deichem Kodesh, we are devoting ourselves to the opposite of Amalek. We're going to maintain the connection between the physical and the spiritual. That's what raising the hand stands for. Whatever we do L'Shem Shamayim. B'chol Drachei Chadayu, Kol Ma'aseh Yehu L'Shem Shamayim. Then we can overcome Amalek. It wasn't just the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu picked up his hands literally. And yes, of course, he picked up his hands in prayer to Hashem. No question about it. But it's much more than that. You know what Chazal say? V'chi yodav shel Moshe. Oh, so smelcham, Moshe over smelcham, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. El v'shah shi yisroh mistaklim kolabim ala. That's tefillah. U'mishavdim es libam la'aviyem shabayim ayu miskabim. Mishadim as liba means the person's heart, all of his shukas, all of his desires, all of his wants and his needs, not necessarily in the Beis HaMedrash, in the world outside, and there are many such wants and desires and needs. It's mishadim all of them, laviyam shebashamayim, ta'kodesh baruch hu. Then we overcome Amalek. Then we overcome Amalek. And now we understand. Vayoma Moshe Yoshua, Moshe tells Yoshua, and the question becomes, why Yoshua? If Moshe was greater than Yoshua, we know that's true, then why was Yoshua? Why did Moshe fight the battle? Say Chazal Lomel Yoshua, the Medrash Rabba, Mitchilat Adorish, Shemavakesh Ladricho Le Milchoma, Tefishu Osir Lehachnes Es Yisrael La'aretz. This is the beginning of the training of Yoshua to be taken to Am Yisrael and to Eretz Yisrael. What's this all about? The answer is, and we have to be mekatzer, it's a much part of a much longer discussion, that Eretz Yisrael is a place in which we are commanded to plant, from the Tata Kolitz Machal, and to fight battles against our enemies, in sharp contrast to the way we led our lives in the Midbar. In the Midbar, we didn't fight, we didn't work, we just learned Torah. Moshe was the leader of Am Yisrael in the Midbar. In Eretz Yisrael, it was Yoshua. He was the bridge, if you will, between Moshe, was Chatzi Malach, and the rest of Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael precisely for this reason. Moshe Rabbeinu was so spiritual, as the Maral calls him, Ruchni B'Yoser. It wasn't appropriate for him to lead Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua had to be the one. And therefore, the beginning of the fight against Amalek, because what is Amalek? The same thing. Amalek is fighting against our entry into Eretz Yisrael. He tries to stop us. Because when we go to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to demonstrate we can be holy Jews despite working and despite fighting. You want to stay in the kollel, in the midbar, and never move from the tent? Amalek's not going to start up with you. Stay put. Now we understand. Why were Moshe's hands heavy? Moshe was the strongest person. What do you mean the hands were heavy? So lifting the hands represents a combination of physical and spiritual. Moshe was Ruchni B'Yosef. The Barami Prague says that Moshe was a Kvad Peh based on Targum Unkelis. The combination of the Ofer and the Shama is Nefesh Chaya, Ruach Memalala. It's a combination of thought process, which is totally spiritual and physical speaking with our organs of speech. Moshe was not so great at combining these two. It was Ruchni B'Yosef. It wasn't a Mum. On the contrary, it was greater than all other people. That's why we didn't have this combination so well. For the same reason, Yidei Moshe Kveden. It wasn't his specialty to fight against Amalek. He was a purely spiritual person. And indeed, who picked up his hands? Aaron. Aaron is the Kohen. Aaron is the one who brings Karbonus and Beis HaMikdash. V'ochlu osam. You can eat and be a spiritual person while you're eating. This is Aaron. It wasn't Moshe. We read in the very beginning of Yisro. There was a big Suda. Who ate by the Suda? Aaron. Zikne Yisro with Yisro. Where's Moshe, Rashi asks? He was the waiter. He was the waiter. Why didn't he eat? Because again, there's a Suda of Achil Lefnei Hashem. This was not Moshe's specialty. He was a purely spiritual person. Interestingly, with respect to Nochrim, if they want to be spiritual, and they can, Chazal said they can bring a carbon, their carbon can only be a carbon olam. They can't bring a carbon shlom. Because shlom means v'chalt l'fnei Hashem. By them, it's two things. Either you're l'fnei Hashem, sitting in some cloister, or you're v'chalt, you're out in the world, with all the physical aspects of the world, the eating, whether it be marriage according to some religions, whether leaders are supposed to be celibate. They don't understand this combination. These words of understanding Rafi Yudem and HaTorah, and understanding the concept of what Amalek stands for and how we have to overcome Amalek, amazingly, are introduced by the words of Chazal that Rashi quotes. Moshe says to Yeshua, "Bechar lanu anoshim, leave alecha, hishveilo, mikanar b'chachamim, hikvol tamid chachamim v'alecha kishalach." And I speak as a Rebbe representing the Rebbeim to all the wonderful Tamidim that we're supposed to honor you as we honor ourselves. Very nice idea, but why is it found over here? Couldn't find a better place than the war against Amalek to teach us this lesson? So Rav Goldberg gives the following answer. Why must the Rebbe mechaber the Talmud? You know why? Those of my Shia can testify. I said, I think, at least two or three times already in 3 days. Mi Talmida Yosef Mikulam. Talmud asks a question. The Rebbe learns from the Talmud's question. The reason why Talmud has to mechaber the Rebbe, because the Rebbe teaches him. Well, guess what? Talmidim teach the Rebbeim as well. That's why. What does this indicate? When Yeshua is fighting against Amalek, it's something which Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do. He was too high a spiritual level. He needed Yeshua to do it. So therefore, it's Me'en Yonah. The Chazal taught us the Chiyuv of Rav, a quote Talmido, by Melchemes Amalek Davka. Because here you find where a Talmud can do what a Rebbe can't. And that's true in any shir. Talmud asked a question which the Rebbe, no matter how much he may know the Gemara better, didn't think of. Or didn't quite think of it that way. So a Talmud can add to the Chachma of his Rebbe. Adkan. How is the Sichos Musar applied this first week of the new Zman. I speak to the entire assemblage, but I'd like to give special focus to the new Talmidim who have just come from Eretz Yisrael. You see, we live in a world of anahapachu. For the Talmidim who just returned from Eretz Yisrael, exactly the opposite of what you said. We said until now that in Eretz Yisrael, that's the place we have to combine your learning Torah with other activities, whatever they may be. Whereas in Chutz Lartz, at least in the Midbar, it was not that way. For many of the Talmidim who have just returned, it's exactly the opposite. Coming back from, let's say, a year and a half in Eretz Yisrael, we were living for Keret in Eretz Yisrael for the first time in your life. You were living a life of Ruchnius completely. All the activities that you left behind from your high school years, some were positive, some were neutral, and there may have even been some negative. I don't want to say for sure. You left them behind, Baruch Hashem. And everyone in his own way grew spiritually. And you grew spiritually because you were in a cocoon. A Beis Medrash, you're learning Yom HaVelayla. You had few distractions, few other obligations. And there, dafka there, in Eretz Yisrael, which in the context of our discussion earlier, is a place where they began to engage in physical activities, there you left many of those physical interests behind, the worldly interests behind, and focusing on other worldly interests, on spiritual interests. Now you come back to our yeshiva. It's a wonderful yeshiva. But there are other things going on over here. I mean, there's a Torah Omada is a well-known phrase in this Beis Medrash. Many meanings and many circumstances. The vast majority of people sitting in the room are attending college classes, and almost everybody is planning some kind of a career. That's Yadayim. All of a sudden, the Yadayim come into play. And as some individuals are unable to adjust, they find it so difficult. They want to be in a situation where everything, all of their activity, all of their time, all of their focus is purely on Avodas Hashem, as I understand it. Learn, learn, and learn. That's it. That's wonderful. I encourage it. Everyone should do it. No question about it. But when we wanted to do that in the Midbar, the Meraglim wanted to stay there, the Chazal say, because they wanted to stay and they were afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem was upset. Chet HaMeraglim. You have to go into the world in Eretz Yisrael, be a Goy Kodesh, a Suya Dechem Kodesh, where you will plant with Kedusha and you'll fight with Kedusha. Whatever you do is with Kedusha. And so too, an individual who's coming from Eretz Yisrael and is just now, quote unquote, landed here. And it's true if you've landed a half a year ago or a year ago or as many years ago as you've landed, you still look back to that time, as I still do, when Eretz Yisrael, where you could just learn and learn and learn. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world of Suya Dechem Kodesh. Not just a world of people who are like Moshe Rabbeinu, Kivayachol, just sitting and learning. But there are those individuals who are not only learning, but they're also involved in other pursuits. And yes, this requires an adjustment. And no one should think that it's a kind of a Yerida B'Kedusha. Oh, till now, a month ago, I was learning Yom HaVelayla. Now I have to go to class in the afternoon. Who said? Why is that called a Yerida? It's an Aliyah for the Yadayim. Not a Yerida for the Rosh. Suya Dechem Kodesh. You're able to elevate and sanctify all your activities. You know, part of life. Part of life is earning a livelihood. It's quoted the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You're going to get married, it says in the first line, Vana Eflach, you're going to go to work. So people who come sometimes have difficulty in adjusting and they find activities which perhaps we should view as quote-unquote normal as being somehow abnormal. And it bothers them to have impact on how they perform in the Beis Medrash, in their college classes, in other pursuits, maybe a little bit later in what we call dating pursuits, where you have to, you know, be a little bit of a person, a man of the world, not be someone who's just totally in a cocoon. These are challenges. These are challenges. And my brief message this evening, which I said in my opening line, is dedicated to the memory of my aunt Toby, Aleh HaShalom, who believed this till the last day. She was the president of Emuna, Vahi Yodav Emuna Adbo HaShamash, for HaShamash means passing away, Chazal say. She had this great faith in Eretz Yisrael, in the mission of Yeshiva University, in family values, being close to other members of the family. She told me so many times, she thanked me for being always trying to be there for family members. So what? Take away time from learning. Sure. The Vilna Gaon, I wouldn't want to even talk to his sister because he was so busy learning. He doesn't have the time. That's the Vilna Gaon. But the implication is that someone who's not quite on the level of Vilna Gaon, when they're relatives, you have to be nice to them and polite and takes up time. You know? It's my bracha as we begin the new Zman. And this man, again, should be learning. But there shouldn't be any rough or Roshayim in the Torah in the Beis Medrash. There shouldn't be any rough for Yudeyim in the Torah outside the Beis Medrash. We should be Zocha to fulfill Su Yudeichem Kodesh.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.